Today on Renewing Your Mind, Dr. Stephen Lawson on one of the many results of the Reformation.
The Reformers burst onto the scene preaching the Word of God, and they reestablished the primacy and the centrality of preaching.
The Protestant Reformation is known for the rediscovery of the gospel. Thanks for joining us for Renewing Your Mind. We're highlighting the 2017 Ligonier National Conference this week. This was our 30th annual national conference. We look back over 500 years since the Protestant Reformation, and we looked ahead to the next 500 years, should the Lord tarry. Alistair Begg, John MacArthur, Albert Mohler, and of course Dr. R.C. Sproul were among our many speakers. And over the course of 26 sessions, we learned how God has faithfully protected His church through history. We always enjoy having Dr. Stephen Lawson with us. He's a Ligonier teaching fellow and a prolific author. And his message today centers on the impact the Reformation had on preaching.
The subject that has been assigned to me is the preached word and Reformation. The Reformers were many things. The Reformers were master commentators. They were prolific authors. They were elder statesmen. They were churchmen. They were precise exegetes. They were profound letter writers. They were so many things as they shaped the times in which they lived. But the number one ministry of the Reformers was the preaching of the Word of God. And if you had reduced them to but one ministry, if they had to give up every other ministry and they could only take and claim one ministry, they would have taken the pulpit, because it was by the pulpit and by the preaching of the Word of God that they ignited the Reformation. Now, we should not be surprised by this, because this has always been God's primary, ordinary means of grace, which is the preaching of the Word of God. Throughout the Old Testament, when God spoke to His people, He raised up His prophets. And He spoke through His prophets, and they preached the Word of God. God had only one son, and He made him a preacher. And he came forth preaching the Word of God as no man has ever preached who has ever walked this earth. He called 12 men to be around him. And when he sent out his 12 disciples, he sent them out to preach the Word of God. If you take the book of Acts, one out of every five verses in the book of Acts is a sermon, or it is a powerful witness that Paul is giving. And the way the church in the first century exploded in the ancient world was primarily through the preaching of the Word of God. And down through the centuries, every time that there has been a new era in church history, it has been when God has raised up preachers of the Word of God. You can go century by century, epoch by epoch, era by era, and those mountain peak times, the Reformation, the Puritan Age, the Great Awakening, the Evangelical Awakening, the Victorian Era, the Evangelical Era. It has all been launched by God unleashing a new generation of red-hot Bible preachers. There is no exception. And it has been by the preaching of the Word of God that God has ushered in His greatest seasons in church history. And so tonight, as we consider the preached Word and Reformation, we want to think about the inseparable link between preaching and the Reformation. And so tonight, I want to take an outline from a very noted professor of preaching. His name was John Broaddus. He was the first professor of preaching at Southern Baptist Theological Seminary. He was a card-carrying five-point Calvinist and one of the early presidents of the Southern Baptist Convention, who said it would be easier to remove Mont Blanc with snowballs than to remove Calvinism from the pages of Scripture. Yeah, go ahead and clap. He gave a series of lectures that were transcribed and put into a book called Lectures on the History of Preaching. He began with the birth of the church. He concludes in his day in the 19th century. And when he comes to the Reformation, before he talks about Luther and Calvin and Zwingli and Bullinger and the rest of the reformers, he identifies four marks regarding the preaching and Reformation. And I want to take those four headings, and I want to establish those as we give thought to the preached word and Reformation. And what John Broadus said is that the Reformation was, number one, a revival of preaching, period. And by that, he realized that at the time, at the birth of the Reformation, preaching had virtually vanished from the scene. The very pulpit itself had been moved over to the side, and in the very center of sanctuaries throughout Europe and England and Scotland and the rest, there was the altar from which the Mass was served. It was very symbolic because the preaching of the Word of God was so rare that it basically did not even exist. Little homilies were given. And when the reformers came onto the scene, the reformers burst onto the scene preaching the Word of God, and they reestablished the primacy and the centrality of preaching. The Reformation was a glorious era as God raised up a new generation of those who preached. Concerning this era, Dargan said, among the reformers, preaching resumed its primary place in worship. The exposition of Scriptures became the main thing. And we have a saying, the main thing is to keep the main thing the main thing. The main thing in the Word of God is the preaching of the Word of God. And that is exactly what was established and reestablished in the Reformation. I want to talk about Martin Luther for a second. And then I want to talk about John Calvin for a second and how they exemplify the reestablishment of preaching back in the church. Martin Luther was principally, according to Martin Lloyd-Jones, quote, preeminently a preacher, close quote. In fact, virtually all of the reformers were heralds of the Word of God. While he was professor of Bible at the University of Wittenberg, Luther preached the Bible twice every Sunday and multiple times throughout the week. Wherever he traveled, he was expected to preach. Pulpits immediately opened up to him. And wherever Luther was found preaching the Word of God. In 1528, which was in the aftermath of the Black Plague, in that year, Luther preached at least 200 formal sermons. You can do the math on that. That's an average of 4 sermons per week. The following year, in 1529, he preached 18 times in the course of 11 days surrounding the Easter season. And Luther said, he confided, often I preach 4 sermons a day. It is estimated that in his lifetime, Martin Luther preached more than 4,000 sermons. And we have 2,300 of those sermons still intact. And Luther spent much of his time writing what was called postals, which are written, manuscripted sermons that other preachers and other men who had not been properly trained could take the sermons that Luther wrote so that they can then go and step into their pulpits and preach the sermons that Luther has written for them to preach. When we think of Luther, we so often think of him as a professor. We think of him as a hymn writer. We think of him as a catechism writer in all these various ways. But it was in the preaching of the Word of God that Luther most found himself in his ministry. And then John Calvin, he was a prolific preacher. In fact, John Calvin would be virtually the poster child for expository preaching. John Calvin preached twice on Sunday. He would preach from the New Testament on Sunday morning. He would preach from the New Testament or a psalm on Sunday afternoon. And then Calvin would preach Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday to a packed house at 6 in the morning. And he would preach verse by verse through Old Testament books every other week. So in the course of from Sunday to Sunday, he would preach either 9 or 10 times, day by day, by day, by day, by day. Calvin took Geneva by storm, by the preaching of the Word of God. And on the 400-year anniversary of Calvin's birth, he was born in 1509. In the year 1909, Emile Dumergue, who was his foremost biographer at the time, made this statement. That is the Calvin who seems to me to be the real Calvin, the authentic Calvin, the one who explains all of the other views of Calvin. Calvin, the preacher of Geneva, molding by his words the spirit of the Reformation of the 16th century. And Dumergue went on to say, while Calvin has come to be remembered as a theologian who recovered the doctrinal landmarks which had been buried under the debris of confused centuries, or as a powerful controversialist whose name opponents have sought to fasten upon beliefs which they judged odious, the truth is that Calvin saw himself, first of all, as a pastor in the Church of Christ, and therefore as one whose chief duty must be to preach the Word, close quote. J.H. Merrill Dubinet, who was the great church historian of the Reformation back in the 18th century, noted that the very heart of the ministry of John Calvin, the very engine that was driving the ministry of John Calvin in Geneva, was his pulpit ministry preaching the Word of God. I could give many other examples with Zwingli and Bullinger and many of the rest. But the point is, number one, that the Reformation was a revival of preaching, period. And this says to me, if we are to have another Reformation in this day, there must be the restoration of the primary, ordinary means of grace in the church today. And what we have today, I'm afraid, is so little preaching. We are canceling Wednesday night services. We are canceling Sunday night services. We are shortening the time of sermons on Sunday morning. Is it any wonder that the church is becoming so weak? And one primary reason is there is so little true, authentic preaching in churches today. And it has led not only to weak congregations, but it has led to weak preachers. I feel that most preachers never reach their potential as a preacher and remain on a level of mediocrity. And I would have you consult Why Johnny Can't Preach, which is the title of a book. It is because they preach so little. If you're trying to learn how to play the piano, do you think more practice or less practice would help you? If you were trying to learn how to play the violin, if you were trying to go on the PGA Tour and be a touring professional, do you think more time practicing or less time practicing would help? Well, the answer is very obvious. Because you would need to stand on your feet and be able to preach more in order to grow in your capacity as a preacher to open the Word of God and to proclaim the Word of God with greater precision and power. If we're to see a reformation again in this hour and in this day, as they did 500 years ago, there must be a revival of preaching again in this hour. The church is suffering not because it has too much preaching. It is suffering because it has too little preaching. We want everything except what is primary. And with everything that is being added to churches, it is pushing out the primacy of preaching. Number two, not only was it a revival of preaching, it was a revival of biblical preaching. Because it's not just preaching that we need. We have enough hot air as it is in pulpits. In fact, it could be argued we need less preaching, not more preaching, if it means more of what we have. The Reformation was a revival of biblical preaching. It was a revival of expository preaching, a form of preaching that had been dormant for virtually 1,000 years. John Broadus writes, instead of long and often fabulous stories about saints and martyrs and accounts of miracles, instead of passages from Aristotle and Seneca and homespun subtleties of the schoolmen, these men, referring to the reformers, preached the Bible. The question was not what did the Pope say or even the church fathers say. The question was, what does the Bible say? In the 16th century, Broadus explains, the preacher's one great task was to set forth the doctrinal and moral teachings of the Word of God. In 1516, the year before, Luther nailed his 95 theses to the Wittenberg door. In other words, 501 years ago, Erasmus published his Greek New Testament. He had gone through the monasteries of Europe. He had gathered together as best he could the manuscripts in the original Greek language, copies of copies of copies. He pulled together the best version that he could at that time, had it published, and it has been well said that it was Martin Luther who hatched the egg that Erasmus laid. There was now a Greek New Testament by which the reformers could study the Word of God in the original language and become even more precise in their handling of the Word of God. Martin Luther was a strong Bible preacher. And the scholars confirm this, that he was a straightforward biblical preacher. Fred Meuser, who is a foremost Luther scholar on the preaching of Luther, said, with Luther came what many interpreters call a totally new form of sermon, the expository sermon. Luther almost single-handedly resurrected biblical exposition from the grave. Luther's method was to take a text of Scripture and to open it up. And as he would do so week after week after week after week, he actually took books in the Bible and preached through books in the Bible. Imagine that. Imagine preaching the Bible as God wrote it. God did not send the Bible as a topical index. God sent the Bible in 66 installments. The Bible is not a collection of verses. The Bible is a collection of books. It is a library of 66 books, and the reformers actually took God so at His word, they began to preach through books in the Bible. And as they did so, they could avoid no verse and no subject. They had to preach the full counsel of God as they did so. Martin Luther preached verse by verse, section by section, through Genesis, Exodus, Deuteronomy, 2 Samuel, Psalms, Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon, Isaiah, Hosea, Joel, Amos, Obadiah, Jonah, Micah, Nahum. Sounds like a homeschool convention almost. Sorry. All right, I have three sons, Andrew, James, and John, okay? And I have a daughter named Peter, so I'm making fun of myself here. Zephaniah, Haggai, Malachi, Habakkuk, Zechariah. That's just the Old Testament as he preached through. In the New Testament, Luther preached sequentially through the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5 through 7, Matthew 11 through 15, Matthew 18 through 24, Matthew 27 to 28, the entirety of the Gospel of Mark, Luke chapters 15 through 16, John 1 through 4, John 6 through 8, John 16 through 20, the book of Acts, Romans, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, 1 and 2 Corinthians, 1 Timothy, 1 John, 1 Peter, Titus, Philemon, and Hebrews. Listen, these reformers gave themselves to the pulpit. They gave themselves to the exposition of the Word of God. It was what was deepening their well in the knowledge of the Scripture. And as they were preaching, they weren't lecturing, they were preaching. And they were bringing the Scripture to bear upon the lives of the people, and they were doing so with persuasion. Martin Luther said, a good preacher invests everything in the Word. Luther said, the pulpit is the throne for the Word of God. Luther saw the pulpit as the throne of God in the midst of the church, and there was to be an open Bible upon, well, there goes the message. There was to be an open Bible on the throne, and God ruled in the church in the center place of the preaching of the Word of God, and the reformers went and fished out the pulpit from the side of the sanctuary, and they brought it back into the very center so that every sight line in the entire sanctuary intersected at an open Bible in a pulpit as the reformers stood behind that pulpit. And just a historical footnote, the first thing that Martin Lloyd-Jones did when he went to Wales to pastor his first church, because they had so much drama going on in the church as they had a social gospel, the first thing Martin Lloyd-Jones did was to nail the pulpit to the floor. So it could not be moved out for any other so-called ministry in the church. And said, this church will make it or break it by the preaching of the Word of God.
It's inspiring, isn't it, to hear the impact that the Reformation had on preaching? We're grateful for Dr. Stephen Lawson. Over the past couple of weeks, we have been sharing highlights from our 2017 Ligonier Ministries National Conference. We celebrated the 500th anniversary of the Reformation. The 26 sessions from that conference are available on DVD, and we'd like to send you the 6-DVD set when you contact us today with your gift of any amount. There are two secure ways to make your request and give your gift. You can call us at 800-435-4343, or you can go to our website, which is renewingyourmind.org. Scripture exhorts us to love God with all of our minds. Dr. R.C. Sproul said in a recent issue of Table Talk magazine that if we desire to experience God but bypass the mind, we're on a fool's errand. We cannot love what we do not know. As Dr. Stephen Lawson reminded us today, the Reformers were precise in their proclamation of God's Word. Our 2017 National Conference contains many powerful reminders of the centrality of the Bible in our daily lives. We'll send you all 26 sessions on 6 DVDs when you call us at 800-435-4343 or when you go to our website at renewingyourmind.org. And don't forget to make plans to join us for the 2018 Ligonier National Conference here in Orlando. Last year, we hit capacity before Thanksgiving, so be sure to make your reservations if you're able to attend. It's March 8th through the 10th, and you can find out more when you visit the Events tab on Ligonier's website. Well, if you prefer to listen to good teaching while you're on the run or perhaps on your daily commute to work, just search for Ligonier in your favorite app store. If you're listening to us on the podcast today, thank you for subscribing. Well, today we explored the impact of the Reformation on preaching. Tomorrow, Dr. Sinclair Ferguson addresses the effect it had on worship. We hope you'll join us Wednesday for Renewing Your Mind.